Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, and it's, what is the date today, the 9th?
The 9th.
Yeah.
Of August. Just got back from my first trip ever by boat to Bimini, the Bahamas.
Bimini.
Yeah, went to Bimini. It was a...
As soon as that you say that, it reminds me of Gary Hart.
What a character that guy was. Spent a weekend over there catching some fish, got some great fish, got a bunch of lobster and conch and all sorts of fun stuff.
Conch.
Yep, went down, diving for it.
Do you have any conch fritters? I think that's the way you're supposed to eat those things.
Yeah, eat them that way. We made a conch salad, like a conch ceviche.
Okay.
You got to really let it sit. It's pretty hard. It's like a giant piece of rubber band.
Yeah. Huh.
But it was a fun trip. A lot of miles, a lot of action on the seas. So it was kind of cool.
Action on the seas.
Yeah, a lot of action on the seas. Caught a really big wahoo. You ever have wahoo?
I think I was, when I was in Florida once, I don't think I have. I think I saw it on the menu and I forgot, I didn't order it. I don't know why.
Great fish. Really great
Is
fish.
It?
Yep. I don't eat much fish. As much as I fish, I don't eat much of it. But wahoo and tilefish are my favorites.
Huh.
Really good. So anyway, let's talk about the markets. We have new highs in the markets, continuing to creep higher. As the employment number came in very strong, showing that the economy seems to be moving along, even though GDP doesn't seem to be growing too well. But the employment number, 255, 4.9% unemployment rate, average work week at 34.5 hours, slight uptick to the average hourly earnings. Things are good in terms of employment.
Yeah, so it appears.
I don't know how they fake the numbers when it comes to just the pure number of how many people were added or subtracted. In terms of the employment number of whether it's the rate of 4.9%, or I can see how the statistics can muddle that up pretty good. But the other number, adding 255,000, is a pretty good number.
Yeah, it's 100 over.
Yeah. So it's pretty impressive. And, you know, whether it was a more part-time, whatever, it's still a very steady number. And it really is interesting to note that in the face of a time when a lot of the uncertainty around and, of course, companies adding to their efficiencies and technologies, they're still hiring people.
Well, you know, you've seen this before. When the things slow down just a little bit, they just lay off everybody.
Yeah. Well, banks have been laying off people. The oil industry has been laying off people. Well,
that makes sense.
But, and I think some of the consumer discretionary, the retail, we saw like numbers from Gap this week, which was awful. And we saw, you remember last year when all the retail stocks were getting slammed, like Macy's and Dillard's and Kohl's? They were just getting whacked.
Right.
And then they started to come up finally again. Everybody's like, all right, the problems are over. Things are getting better. Retail sales are picking up a little bit. The last few weeks for these guys, again, have been just horrible.
I wonder why.
I don't know. It's back to the shopping trend issue, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Still seeing companies like Amazon do very well. You know, just incredible numbers. And now the big news was that Walmart is buying Jet.com for $3 billion.
What's Jet.com?
Jet.com is a company that came around, I'd like to say, about a year ago or so. I don't even think it was a year, but let's call it a year. And they were direct competition to Amazon, looking to take on Amazon. There was a $50 fee for membership, and then they would do like, you know how some of these companies like Expedia, they go out, or even to a degree Priceline, but like an Expedia or Kayak, they go out and they search the other websites and find the cheapest product, and you can buy it from them. So you would buy airline tickets or hotel.
Oh, it's like it's a consolidator meta site.
Yeah, exactly. This sort of like that, but not. I mean, they had it on, they had it, and they always said it was going to be cheaper than Amazon, And if not, they would go out sometimes and just get it from Walmart or somewhere else and then send it to you. And there was a small cost, and there was a, I think shipping was cheap, whatever. Then they abandoned the $50 membership thing because I think it was holding them back. And so they had this whole thing going. Check out their website, jet.com. And they put out this whole big, you know, thing that they're really going to be busting into the whole area of online shopping, and again, cheaper than anybody else and things like that. Well, they really didn't do well, from what I could see. At least, well, they did okay. They didn't do badly, but they didn't really make the big splash that I thought they were going to, or at least they thought they were going to. And now Walmart comes around this week with a $3 billion, almost all-cash deal for this company.
Huh.
So I guess they're looking to really spice
was
up.
Was it traded?
No. This is a private company.
All right. Well, so, I mean, I don't know why Walmart's doing this. They have an online presence.
Right.
And I think they got a good brand recognition thing going. As I don't know what would be the point of picking these guys up. They want to just do this themselves. Buy.
It could have been for the technology, whatever that is.
Huh.
It maybe. That they thought it was a lot better instead of, but again, you know, you look at these numbers, $3 billion. Well, they obviously got some, they pick up customers that they may have lost to Jet, right? So Walmart may have been losing customers to different companies like Jet or Amazon. So now they, and we do know that Walmart has been trying for a while now to go head to head with Amazon and at least win back some of the business that they obviously lost. So maybe this was a way to somehow get right into Bezos' face and say, hey, here we go. You want to play? You know, this is the way we're going to do it. We're going to buy up a company that's your main competition in terms of, you know, the model that you use. And we'll put money behind it. We'll put our guys behind it. We'll put our products behind it, our buying power behind it. Walmart's buying power is pretty strong.
Yeah, that's for sure. But they don't buy everything.
Right. What do they do?
Amazon. Well, I'm just saying, by compared to Amazon, they're never going to have the selection,
right?
Because Amazon's got two ways of doing it. One, they actually three plans. One, they stock buy stock and wholesale stock and drop ship,
mm-hmm.
and they also do deals with these small companies, like Inks for Us or whatever that ink company is, and so they buy. They do a deal, and the ink company provides the product, and Amazon just is a conduit, and the ink company sells the product from their warehouse.
So logistics.
Yeah, so there's the logistics angle. And then there's some companies that let Amazon do the drop shipping for them, even though they're the ones supplying the product, and Amazon's not supplying the product. They are.
Right, it's like a consignment deal.
Yeah, so they got all these deals going. They have everything. Every possibility is being done by Amazon. There's not a thing you can think of that they're not doing. Walmart's pretty stodgy by comparison. They can't compete with Amazon.
Well, this is maybe why they're going out and buying Jet.com.
Yeah, another company that can't compete with Amazon. Fantastic.
Right, so now you got two companies cannot compete with Amazon, trying to now compete with Amazon. I mean, there must be some other reason behind all this. There's got to be, there's a pretty good price tag.
I think it's just the era of spending too much money.
Yeah, well, that's true. No question about that. All right, let's see. We did see some very interesting things. I mentioned that the S&P hit an all-time high after floating sideways for a few weeks. We saw also productivity numbers come down pretty significantly, which I thought was really interesting because get back to an age in robotics and efficiencies and technology, productivity is down very hard last month. It was down like 5%.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And inventories are on the rise, which is kind of interesting. So I'm not sure what this exactly means, but if you have productivity down, meaning that workers are not doing, it's not like you're, it's not essentially that you're not squeezing enough out of them, but maybe there's not enough work for the amount of product that's being manufactured. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So therefore, too many, and that would fall right into why inventories are on the rise, because now there's not a lot of buying of the inventories, therefore not a need to restock the inventories. That makes sense?
Maybe.
Yeah. It makes sense in what I said, but
kind of.
Not really. All right, let's talk about, I thought this was kind of fascinating. So Trump comes out with his economic plan, right? And he's starting to really wither in the polls.
And, well, I don't know. The polls are dubious, so
all right.
Who knows?
So let's put the polls aside, but let's talk about his recent economic plan announcement. Let's just kind of go through some of these. So he said that no American company will pay more than 15% of its income in taxes, reducing taxes from 35% to 15%. Hopefully, this is going to stop a lot of the inversions and companies moving headquarters offshore.
Right. That's, I think, the idea.
Then he's going to cut regulations massively.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, this is one of those words that he uses. It's going to be huge and massive, and it's going to be, you know, terrific. So he's going to cut regulations massively, which, by the way, each of these regulations would have to be voted on almost individually, right? You can't just put a bill together to just go down the list and cut regulations.
You know, most regulations today really don't have anything to do with the Congress or anybody else. It's used their bureaucratic regulations that were set up by these agencies. And so they could technically just kill any one of them that they wanted to if they were told to.
If they were told to, right. And if they listened.
That's the main thing. If they, right. If they really liked the regulation, they could drag their feet.
He's going to lower business tax and kill this corporate inversions, which I mentioned. He's planning to eliminate the estate tax.
Yeah, well, that's been a Republican goal forever.
Yep. He proposes reducing the income tax to three levels, not the current seven. So it's going to be 12, 25, and 33. Prior
he changed it. He used to have, it wasn't 33, they're back to 33. Okay.
Right. Yep. So, 33, isn't that the number?
Magic number.
Magic number. We'll target tax-specific loopholes in the tax laws. So he's going to try to find those loopholes that, I guess, companies are utilizing to benefit. He says no family will have to pay the death tax, which, again, is back to the estate tax. He will kill all the illegal and overreaching executive orders. So how... He could just, I guess he could, as executive, he could undo the executive orders. Is that how that works?
Yeah, you can do that.
Hmm. So all these executive orders that were done by this current president, who really did it in a large, I don't remember ever seeing so many executive orders than we saw under this president.
Yeah, well, he got, I don't know if it's really the most, but he definitely got the most publicity.
Yeah. And executive orders technically are when Congress is out of session, right? So you hold off.
No, they can be done anytime.
I thought it's only when they're out of session.
Not that I know of.
So if you, then what's the point of having Congress at all?
Well, there's a number of things that Congress controls the purse strings.
Right.
So if you want to do something and Congress doesn't want you to do it, they'll just not give you any money and you have to do it on your own dime.
Hmm.
That's the main thing. They also supposedly the ones that declare war, and even though they're going on some bull crap, you know, military thing that was designed for getting rid of Al-Qaeda and bin Laden. They're just hanging on to that, trying to still do war from the executive branch, but they really that's illegal. They have a lot of, they could, you know, they were used to be in the 1800s. Congress was like the people, the way they think of the president. Now there was the most dominant part of the government. And they pushed everybody around. They were bossy. They've lost that. They got lazy, and the executive branch now took over most of the ruling. You know, most of the power of the federal government's kind of run out of the executive branch. But the Congress used to be the powerful one, and they should try to get their power back. And they haven't done a very good job of it.
Done a terrible job, and there it's just all gridlock. It's just and that's maybe what happened. I mean, obviously, they just can't, you know, it's so political versus.
I think it's always been political.
But to a point that what I mean by that, let me just say this. What I mean by that is become so political in that just because the other side said something, we're not going to do it.
Well, there's some elements of that, but that doesn't apply to things like war powers, and they just aren't asserting themselves, and they should do it as a whole. Right. You know, the problem is one party gets an office in the president. You get a Republican president or a Democrat president. And so the Republicans or Democrats in the House and Senate, they roll over for the guy. They never used to do that so much.
Right. He wants to renegotiate the NAFTA deal, says if the U.S. doesn't get what it wants, he will then walk away from the deal.
Yeah, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. That's not going
to
happen.
Right. He wants to eliminate the Trans-Pacific Trade Pact.
Yeah, that'd be great, too.
And reiterating he wants to repeal Obamacare.
Obamacare has turned into a disaster. Yeah. I have to agree with that.
Oh, such a surprise. Did you think it was going to be good?
No.
Oh.
But I didn't realize what a scam it was.
Yeah, now
the insurance company.
The insurance company, yeah. And now they're raising rates and some of them pulling out and all this stuff. Now, what's interesting is that if you look at this list here, it seems to me, there's a couple other things in there too, but it seems to me that much of this really benefits him. In that income taxes reduced, cutting regulations, lowering business taxes, eliminating the estate tax. Doesn't a lot of this stuff seem to be very much not only Republican, but for super wealthy?
It seems to be very Republican oriented, but the super wealthy are not, they like NAFTA and the super wealthy like the idea of the Trans-Pacific Trade Pact because it creates a kind of a third government to benefit the wealthy. Both those things say to me that this is not going to benefit him that much.
Huh. Well,
maybe the tax rate would.
So what do you think of all these things? Is this something that is a good plan or is this just a, one of his,
any other list of things. It's just a list of things.
It's a list. Something where we have to have 10 or 12 things that a couple of these things repeat themselves, but 10 or 12 things that are, look like we're doing something. If we get in, whether or not it gets done or not is another story.
Yeah, so Obama was going to shut down Gitmo. Obama was going to do this and that.
He did shut down Gitmo pretty much, didn't he?
There's 75 guys there.
Why would he even shut that down to begin with is another story entirely. I don't understand the whole thing.
Well, if you're going to promise to shut it down.
Yeah.
And you get elected largely because one of those and other promises. And then you don't do it. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, let's just shift over from outside of politics because I know that our audience is not, the whole politics things. You start getting the emails and stuff and people get really very upset. Let's talk about the Olympics, shall we?
We'll talk about investing later.
Yeah. We got some things coming on with investing.
This is a great story that you have it on this list here, I have to say.
Yeah, this is, you want to take it? You could take this.
Okay, well, I don't really know the details because I didn't get to see it. But apparently they're having kayaking on that miserable bay that's in Rio, which has never been cleaned up. And I guess it was a practice run and a guy hit a sofa that was floating just under the surface. And apparently that whole polluted bay is like, if you fall in it, they warn you, you got to get out and get washed, scrubbed down and you can die. Apparently if you even ingest any of this water.
And there's all these different companies making various uniforms and clothing for the Olympiads, right?
Yeah.
So you have, for example, Under Armour making a special thing for the gymnasts and whatever. There's a whole another set of companies that are making a variety of products, clothing, one to prevent mosquitoes and Zika. It's insect repellent has been infused into the uniforms.
Yeah.
There's other ones that are being made for things like this river or this lake that is so terribly polluted that if you fall in, your skin maybe starts bubbling off, whatever the story is that goes on with this, okay?
Yeah, that's the image I like to see.
I mean, this is pretty disgusting if you really think about it, right?
Totally.
I mean, if I was, this would make me go faster to get the hell out. If I was rowing, I'd be like, let's just get this over with.
That's probably going to break some records then.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also think because it's so polluted, the water's a lot thicker.
Oh, really?
To be able to go faster.
Or maybe so oily that it just... which, by the way, I heard that there is a new chemical makeup of the water they put into the pool in Rio that's supposed to make... It's a faster pool. There's something they did with the water and the filtration system and how the water actually goes. So that if you're in a lane and you're splashing around, supposedly the splashing doesn't get too much to the other lanes.
Oh, that's interesting. It's possible.
But if that is the case and they made the water faster, is it fair then to, because we have this new technology to do so, however, whatever this is it fair to then have a world record broken in a situation where the water wasn't the same?
No, of course not.
Not.
But that's you're just, they have, the only thing that really makes some athletic events attractive are world record beaters. So they have to do whatever they can to make things faster and faster forever.
Yep. And now two more little stories on the Olympics. I don't know if you've been, have you been watching?
Yeah, I've been watching some of it.
Have you seen these purple, black, and blue circles on people?
Yeah, I know about this.
Just cupping.
This has been going on for a number of years.
But not so blatantly. The people are doing cupping.
Yeah.
Where you put, you basically suck your skin up with a reverse vacuum done by fire.
So yeah, something like that.
In a little cup.
This is
ridiculous.
This is a myth, a kind of a superstition. But I don't think it does anything.
Some of these people are walking around with some serious circles. And then finally, the Dutch gymnast Yuri van Gelder has been expelled from the Olympics for gravely violating team rules by going out for a night of drinking in Rio after qualifying for the finals at the ring event. What an idiot. Not that he got thrown out. Why is this guy drinking just before he's going to do the finals? Or what's the matter with this guy?
I don't know. You ever been to Rio?
No, I haven't. Is it just got a drink?
It might not be. You know, there's a lot of women.
Oh. So, I see.
I think he probably was distracted.
We have a link on the site for the medal count. If you want to see it, you can just go over to the dhunplug.com. Go to the show notes for this particular show episode, which is available right at the top there, and click the little drop down. And you'll see there's a little link there. There's also some of the various charts we talk about, and some of the other things that we talk about are on the site as well. So you see the current medal count. I think we're in the lead in the USA, although China is in the lead as of right now with gold medals. So there you go.
They have more people.
Oh, I see. So maybe on a percentage basis to their actual population, they're really much lower down.
I would, yeah, if we wanted to play that game.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So some countries that only have a few people that are there. So if they win a gold, it's like really big. Now, Carlos Slim, who is Mexico's richest person, he's pretty well up there. He is talking about now having a 3-day work week.
Sounds good.
He says it's important to people that don't retire at 50, 60, or 65. No, we don't want them retiring early. Okay? By the way, you have to remember, this is talking from a guy that's a multi-billionaire.
Yeah.
He thinks people should retire later because they'll have more knowledge and experiences. And he thinks that they should work a 3-day work week and create some spaces for others. So in other words, if only you work a 3-day work week, others have maybe the opportunity to work the other 3 days. And this way, there'll be less need for transportation. Nations wouldn't have to face early retirements and are financially destabilized. And the quality of life and having a 4-day week free or weekend would encourage a lot of economic activity. More tourism, entertainment, sports, culture, and education. People could take advantage of those extra days of learning. Mr. Slim, 3 days versus 5, would we think, how are people going to do all these things if they're making so much less money?
There's always a suggestion they're going to be making the same amount.
How could businesses be profitable? You'll need double the
high
people.
Margins.
Oh, come on. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, that was, you're talking about this sort of retirement thing. Here's a question for you. My wife keeps asking me to ask you this.
Yeah.
If you're coming up on your retirement ages of 65, 66, I don't even know what it is anymore. I think it's 67. But you can take your Social Security benefits early,
right,
with a penalty.
Yeah.
So instead of getting $800 a month, let's say, you get $600 or $7.
Right.
But then at some point there's a crossover point where you'd make more money. If you added it all up at some point, it's like usually it's pretty late. It's like when you say you took it out at 62 and you're supposed to take it out at 67. It takes you to the year when you're 80, you're now even, and then you start making more money with the later benefits.
Well, here's the thing. So we're talking about Social Security benefits and the choice of, let's say, taking it 62 as an example or 67. Right. At 62, let's say you make $1,000 a month. At 67, let's say it's $1,400 a month. So when you take it early, you're penalized for taking it early, or you're benefited by taking it later. Here's a couple of the things. Number one, as you said, that there's a crossover. So if you take it at age 62, you have 5 more years of $1,000 a month, which is $60,000 you got in your pocket before the time would be the normal retirement date. So right. You're ahead of the game there, but sometime in the future, that $400 a month or so, whatever the exact numbers are, will catch up to you and there's a crossover. The bigger right. question is that I ask people, how long are you going to live? Well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know how long you're going to live and you're just waiting till the future to take the money, and what if you die? What happens then? You don't get any of the money. Maybe your spouse will receive spousal benefits, but you're not going to get any of that money that you would have. Just maybe look at taking it earlier and, you know, worry about, because if you wait till the crossover age and it starts getting better at that point by waiting, maybe you have a shorter life expectancy because you're a lot older. So right. sometimes a bird in the hand.
So you think the bird in the hand is better?
It could be, yes. I would look at the differential between the two ages. And I would look at, add up the benefits and the differential between the early age of taking the Social Security and the actual real time to take the Social Security. See how much more money you'll make from that and find out how much further ahead you'll be. And then consider the fact that you don't know how long you're going to live. So it may be worthwhile to take the money now. And if you took the money now and you didn't need it and invested it, you're even that much further ahead. I think it's a big scam. Listen, the reason the government...
That's what she said you'd say, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does she agree with me?
Well, she wants to do that. And she says, ask Horowitz.
Yep.
I said, I'll ask him. I said that she should wait a little beyond because I think there's going to be... Until the economy snaps out of what it's going to do, everyone's expecting a downturn because you don't want to start... Because she wants to invest it. You don't want to put a bunch of money that you're... and lose half of it over a dislocation of things. And then maybe get in later and then, or just put the money in the bank.
Well, if you put the money in the bank, then even if you put the money in the bank, then you're ready to invest when the market goes down.
Yeah.
The other thing is that, I think that if we look at the fact that the government keeps on extending the date in which you can actually take it, and they're trying to get you to elongate the period or take the money later.
Like a carrot.
Yeah.
Carrot, you're a donkey.
What I think that means is it's probably better to take it earlier because they realize that they don't want to pay you so much earlier. They want to pay you later. So if they're doing that, it's probably in their best interest. So therefore, take it earlier.
Okay.
Volkswagen. Diesel scandal seems to be adding a new chapter. It seems that the
how can it get any worse? Yeah,
it does. It gets worse. It seems they have 3 hidden software programs in its 3.0 liter engine now.
Oh, interesting.
The secret software, this is interesting because this is kind of classy. What they did is it could turn off the vehicle's emissions controls. And this is from Reuters, who was reporting from the German newspaper Bild am Sonntag. Says the emission control system allegedly shuts off 22 minutes after the car is on. Well, most emission tests take about 20 minutes to do.
Very cool.
So you turn your car on and they start the test on your emissions. Because, you know, you pull up somewhere and unless they take you right away, I guess, you know, they maybe shut the car off. They turn it on. The emissions control system stays on for 22 minutes and then it goes off. So therefore the test that takes 10, 15, 20 minutes gives you an all clear. So this is really egregious.
Well, I'll tell you, this doesn't bode well for anyone who wants to say it was a mistake.
Right. Oops. That other stuff couldn't have been a mistake
coding
anyway.
Coding error.
Yeah, that other stuff couldn't have been a mistake anyway. This whole thing is just terrible. And how about this? That during this investigation of their other engines that are having emission control system issues, that I can't believe. Okay, well, we have it in that car. That they didn't come out and try to, you know, bring their hands clean and say, you know, by the way, we have it in other cars too. We're going to just let you know. Who knows where else, how deep this goes?
Oh. Well, it just explains a lot if you've ever driven one of these diesels.
Yeah, and why the gas mileage is so good.
Well, the gas mileage is also, they go like bats out of hell.
Yeah, after 22 minutes.
Yeah.
What happened? Why is the car so handling so well all of a sudden? So,
I wonder if they don't do something like that with their gasoline engines too. Because I rented a Jetta.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to tell people out there not to rent one. It's just not a good car. It has the brakes catch. It accelerates awkwardly. It's got nice interiors. About it. The car does like it does when it's first started. When you're driving around right after. Starting it, it does that kind of like the engine kind of stops and then restarts. And
oh, you mean at the lights and stuff?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
BMW does it. I hate that.
But you can turn that off on the BMW. And then it stops doing that.
Why?
I think it's probably the same program. It's part of the emissions control. And then it's... turns itself off. I don't know. It's a very strange car to have. I don't recommend it as a renter.
Yeah. All right. Moving along. Nikkei Asian Review newspaper reported and news source reported that Amazon Japan was raided by antitrust officials in Japan. Amazon Japan pricing deals with competitors are under antitrust investigation. I'm not sure. Huh. I'm not sure what that deal is all about, but there is something brewing there. Way that they're squeezing and trying to get a better deal from certain companies and then saying, hey, you know what? If you give us a better price than them, that's great. We'll buy from you. Otherwise, we won't. Something like that. Walt Disney.
Interesting.
Walt Disney is out with their profits. Revenue beat after the close. Estimates were really a big part of their movie studio was big. And they also mentioned that they're going to be buying a big piece into a streaming video technology company to sell more content direct to consumers. This whole over-the-top thing and this whole offline direct with a particular company, I still don't understand the whole, you know, how this works. I mean, I guess this is the whole new generation way of watching things, but it seems like it gets a little complicated after a while. You know, instead of having cable.
What would you call the new generation of watching things? On the phone?
On the phone, but I guess you'd have to buy it and get a subscription to a Disney channel, the Disney Go channel or whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's HBO Go. Disney, whatever it's called. Or whatever particular one. I don't understand. It just seems like, how many ways can you sell the same carrot? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you could just, there's so many ways.
Well, Disney's got more ways than anyone.
Yeah, they do. They do. So, but they made some money, but stock was down after the close. I guess there was some parts of their overall profits that people weren't totally thrilled with. All right, let's get into this. You know, by the way, if people love the show, what's a great way to show their love?
I think they can contribute to its future.
Yeah, that's true. And it's a big future here. On the dhunplugged.com website, there's a variety of donation buttons. We really appreciate it if you made some money from the stock ideas, which I've gotten several emails just this week thanking us, by the way, for this or that stock that we mentioned. So people donated. You can donate whatever you like. Go over to the DH Unplugged website and do so. We really appreciate it. The closer to the pin competition, we have these new interactive charts, by the way. We're currently tracking Shake Shack, whose earnings are tomorrow after the close. I think the competition from Shake Shack ends next week. We also have the DH Unplugged C CTP Cup for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and we'll mention all those coming up. Millennials, you can see the millennials and old codgers and all that good stuff coming up as well. That's on the DH Unplugged site. So codgers still losing by about 6 points.
Yeah, that can reverse at any moment.
Yeah, DaVita got hit yesterday. All right, yeah. Delta Airlines. Delta Airlines was on Monday, I guess most of the fleet was grounded.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of funny. On the news, they're like, yeah, most of the fleet is grounded because we have technical difficulties and the computer's down. But don't worry, the ones that are in the air are doing fine. Like, they're not affected. I'm like, what do you mean they're not affected? Of course they're not affected. They're in the air. It has nothing to do with ticketing or checking in or whatever. And they're making a big thing. Like, what do people think? That the planes that were in the air were going to fall out of the sky or something? I mean, what were they thinking?
I have no idea, but I can imagine people thinking that.
Can you really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The systems are down. Every plane is going to just nosedive.
Yeah. It's like somehow the computers are magically running everything.
Anyway, Delta seemed to have suffered a meltdown of its computer systems, which caused cancellation of hundreds of flights.
We have not seen any good explanation for this, or the one that happened earlier. There was one against Southwest a few days earlier. Southwest, it didn't make as much news. I don't know if it was the same kind of attack, but there's an attack or something. I don't think it's just a failure.
Really? It wasn't just somebody like tripping over a plug somewhere?
I mean, that would be if that was the case, that'd be great.
Right. But you think it was something a little deeper and a little more?
I think it was an attack.
Huh. Could be. I mean, it seems that hackers are getting pretty good at this.
Oh, yeah. Well, also in the state-run guys. I mean, yeah. I think our country's filled with hackers.
Really? It's like roaches. Yeah. It's like a house full of roaches. Well, you got to like tent it and just kill everything in it.
And I think it was right during the time of the Black Hat conference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just could have been some Black Hat guy saying, hey, I'm going to show you something. You guys are going to get a kick out of this.
Watch this. No reservations.
Yeah. Mm. No reservations. Boom. Done.
Well, we got to talk about Zika for a second here.
By the way, if anyone was going to do that,
who would be?
Just send me an anonymous note what company you're going to do it against so I can short it.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But these stocks still don't, I mean, and I think Delta's giving away like $200 vouchers and something else. And today, by the way, today there was still a lot of planes grounded and travelers stuck.
Terrible.
Yep. Zika.
Zika, Zika, Zika.
Yep. So I thought I would mention that, did a little bit of research here and kind of came up with some names of, because people asked me about this. What companies, you and I found the best company for this. But they're not publicly traded.
Yeah,
it's a Johnson problem. Johnson. But four companies are researching. These are kind of the same names that we were looking at with Ebola. Kind of, I guess these companies get right on it when it's time. But they're looking to find some kind of, you know, inoculation or cure, whatever. But the companies we listed over on DH Unplugged. I'll give you a couple, and then you can go look yourself. It's BioCryst Pharmaceuticals, BCRX, Interexon, XON. And the other couple on there are on the website, so you can check those out. BioCryst was up like 18% today.
Mm.
There was no news that I saw. And I didn't see any particular news, but I thought that was interesting. In the area of crude oil, and then we have a great story coming up on Facebook. This is, I think, a fascinating story. Crude oil, starting to see headlines that, and kind of some murmurs out there that OPEC is looking to consider maybe a price or an output freeze. Now, where have we heard that before? It was like 3 months ago. Remember when oil was getting really low and it clipped under 40 and it was in the 30s, and all of a sudden OPEC was like, oh, we're going to do an output freeze, or we're going to do some kind of a something. And whatever happened about it? Nothing. You know, in the end, what we realized was they have no choice but to continue pumping at a record pace.
Right.
And now oil clips 40 again, and inventories are up, and there's still a big glut. We're entering into the very low, the season with the lowest or very low amount of demand.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go again. OPEC headlines coming across. What a pathetic group.
Yes, I'd say.
You know? Yeah. So now there's going to be a $35 tag that people are looking for on oil. It was up a bit on after this news, about 3 or 4%. But then tonight, after the close, we saw the first line of the EIA numbers. And there's also a, I think it was the Petroleum Institute, came out with their oil supply demand long-term view of the next year or so. And it was pretty sad in terms of the demand part of it. So oil dropped down right when that report came out today. Mm. So we'll see what happens there, because we know that there's been a lot of corporate defaults and they're growing. As a matter of fact, we saw a 4.7% default rate for bonds that were rated below investment grade in July, from increased from 4.6 in June. And the long-term average default rate is about 4.2%. So the year-to-date, we saw a total of 102 companies totally defaulting, and 11 in just July, the highest since 2009. Meanwhile, the HYG junk bond fund,
yeah,
which, remember, we shorted that and we did very well with that,
right,
is continuing to rally as people are just hunting for yield, regardless of the default. They're oblivious. It doesn't matter. We're buying yield. So once oil starts, and if it starts moving lower again, you're going to see the corporate bond default rates rising again, particularly in the oil sector. You're going to see banks having trouble again, and you're going to see the HYG and the junk bonds really starting to move down again. Now that there's so much more money that was put in there. So we'll see what happens with oil. But I don't know what your view is, but we didn't make a dent in any of that supply over the last few months.
No, right. It's straight. These numbers are just crazy.
I mean, $40 on oil is not altogether high. Now, if it's going to be 35 or 32 or 40,
35 is great. Would be interesting, because it's going to cause dislocations.
Yeah. I mean, it went down quickly, but if it does, the problem now is it's been sticking around these levels for a while. So the longer it stays here, the more trouble these companies have, because, you know, they could weather a little bit of a storm, but when they have to continually deal with this, and they sold off a lot of their assets already, and they did secondary offerings on the market and maybe refinanced some of their bonds possibly, or issued more bonds possibly, you know, where's the rest of the money going to come in from? That's where the big problem comes in, the longer this stays at these levels.
Yeah.
It's a shock if it happens very quickly. You know, if oil went from $100 to $50, then back to $100, it would have been a real shock situation for a little while. But it went from $100 and it's down to $50, then down to $40 and down to $30s, now back to $40. That's a big difference. And the longevity of this particular move is very problematic.
I think it's going to stay down here bouncing around.
It looks that way.
What would make it go up?
The only thing that would make it go up is if, in fact, we saw, well, it's obviously not for political instability in the Middle East is not obviously doing it. It would have to be the dollar dropping dramatically and or demand picking up dramatically, which is not going to happen, or clearly supply and production slowing down, which it has, but again, in the wrong places and not at the right levels. So a lot of rigs come offline in the U.S. But again, that was just being, you know, the amount of rigs that came offline and the supply that was taken offline was just put right back by Middle Eastern and OPEC nations.
Yeah. Well, I don't see it changing much in the near term because of the nature of the automobile industry used to chew up most of the gasoline. And now with all this electric and hybrid and driving less and all the rest of that and the lightweight cars and all. I mean, if everyone's like Volkswagen, maybe we'd have a shot at it.
Yep. All right, let's talk about Facebook. This is a fascinating story.
Okay.
Procter & Gamble, which is actually the biggest, I don't know if you knew this, the biggest advertising spender in the world. Did you know
that? I think so.
Yeah.
I think they still are. They used to traditionally be.
They're going to be moving away from advertising on Facebook that targets specific consumers after deciding the practice has limited effectiveness.
Gee, I'm glad somebody figured this out.
But this is kind of interesting because isn't the whole point of how great advertising on Facebook is the idea that you know exactly who you're advertising to and directly advertising to the people that potentially would be buying your product versus just throwing it up on Channel 7 sometime during the day or just throwing it up on a billboard somewhere?
I don't think that this notion applies to Procter & Gamble. There's not a product that Procter & Gamble doesn't sell that applies to everyone. So why would they go toward the more expensive targeted advertising? I think that's what the logic is. They sell laundry detergent and toothpaste. Now, everybody needs toothpaste, and most people need laundry detergent one way or another. Their wife or husband, sometimes they're single males, and who knows who. Almost everything Procter & Gamble sells is applicable, I think, to almost everybody in the country. So why would you spend the extra money for targeted ads? It's idiotic.
So let's think of a company that would benefit from targeted ads. Would it be, let's call it Under Armour. And let's say it's a men's fitness shirt. So therefore, you could target to men of a certain age.
Yeah, but you can target to men pretty easily. The idea of this bullcrap super targeted is like, it would be like if you had a, what kind of thing? What's targeted? Like you're a sports car enthusiast. Oh, no, yeah, and you drive around a certain car, Jaguar.
Yeah.
And you were a company that made mats for the Jaguar car. Now, if you can get a targeted ad so you get right to a Jaguar owner, I think you'd have something. That's where it would apply. But unless you're a specialty company like that making Jaguar mats, there's no reason for this targeting.
So, but isn't the basic logic behind Facebook advertising the whole idea and the premise that we know the audience, you can get right to the players that you want to be to?
Yeah.
And doesn't this just blow the whole, if in fact there is limited effectiveness, generally speaking, for this from the big spenders? Now, they're not necessarily leaving Facebook, but they're going to be moving away from advertising on Facebook that targets specific customers.
Yeah, they'd rather have just a cheaper ads that target everyone.
Right. So we'll see who else comes to this. I've always wondered, again, you know, where the benefit of some of this stuff is. As a matter of fact, there was another a possible law that's going to be coming down where celebrities who are doing native advertising for things are going to be required to say that this is an advertisement.
Oh, I didn't know about this.
Yeah, there's something I read this morning. Basically, you have a rapper that's holding up a particular bottle of, I don't know, vodka. You know, and saying, oh, I love this vodka, whatever it is. But he's being paid to do an endorsement. This is a sponsored type of situation.
Right.
That is going to be required to put some kind of a disclaimer, whether it's a hashtag, you know, hashtag sponsored, or a little note on the bottom, this is sponsored content, or the, you know, being paid to do this, or something like that. You know, this is, they're looking to make this a law because they find it to be very, but then again, does that mean that if Tiger Woods is walking down the golf course wearing an Under Armour hat and an Under Armour shirt, that it's going to have to say something like, sponsored on there? I mean,
I don't
where do you stop?
Well, you stop way before that.
Jeez. Well, it's the same thing, isn't it?
No, it's not the same thing at all, because it's native advertising is something that is put into the public, into a broadcasting or newspaper or some sort of a mass market vehicle, as opposed to a guy walking down the golf course. How many people are going to see him?
What do you mean, how many people? When he's on national TV?
If he's on, well, no, that brings up a different question.
That's right, exactly.
So he's on national TV in a golf tournament.
And the whole point of why the basketball player is wearing a Nike shoe is because they're not just gratuitously, you know, paying him $20 million a year to wear Nike stuff. It's to advertise it.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. It's actually a philosophical question of interest.
Now, the other point about Facebook, it's going to start. This is going to really piss you off. Facebook is going to start forcing. The word is forcing. Ads to appear for all users of its desktop website, even if they use ad blocking software. The social network said on Tuesday that it will change the way advertising is loaded into a desktop website to make its ad units considerably more difficult for ad blockers to detect. And of course,
it's not that hard to make it easy to fool ad blockers, because ad blockers pretty much are looking out for ad distribution networks. And so they're looking for, and also counters. There's a lot of, you'll see redirects and a lot of ads that when we did our show early on, we had redirects in some of these things. And the redirect shows that it's going from here to there to here. And it's typically of an ad because it's hooked into some sort of an image. So it's very easy to make the ad blocking software catch all that stuff. If you make it make the ad a hard ad, in other words, it's loaded permanently. It's not changing all the time. It's not being loaded from off site, but it's actually hard coded into the page. And it may have a link that's goes someplace to initiate payment or whatever. It's very difficult for ad blockers to see that. They just see it. Well, it looks like an image with a link, you know.
Well, what's interesting is that the guy that's in charge of marketing, I guess, digital over at Facebook said it wasn't motivated by inventory. It's not an opportunity for Facebook from that perspective. We're doing it more for the principle of the thing. We want to help lead the discussion on this. The principle that, I guess, everybody is required to see an ad if they want to or not.
You must seize this ad.
And it's not like a thing that we're doing just to, you know, get more people to see our ads. Oh, that's crazy. All right, let's see what we have. Okay, perfect. Let's see. Last thing is the judge. This is a kind of just a story about a point of reference here. We won't talk about Blagojevich. How do you say his name? Governor Blagojevich.
They call him Blago.
Yeah, Blago. Anyway, let's talk about something else. This I had a question for you on. The U.S. State Department has approved the potential sale of more than 130 Abrams battle tanks, 20 armored recovery vehicles, and other equipment worth about $1.15 billion to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Is there something wrong with that? Do we just
Saudi Arabia is one of our best customers, and so we do whatever they tell us to.
Yeah, I mean, customers, but they're not really the best friend.
No. They're horrible people.
I don't understand why we sell our best potential military gear to places that are not, nothing sacred.
One of our businesses. It's a business we run.
It's a business we run, right. It doesn't matter. So just... And then we should start wars so we can sell more of these things.
Yeah, well, we do that, yeah.
Right. And then, obviously, we get then probably only... The only way they can get the various shells and various equipment to refit and rearm these various things is from us.
It's a razor blade scheme.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It's a Dollar Shave Club.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know what? These tank things, they're going to... Whether you use them or not, in about a year, you need to replace them.
Yeah.
Really, you know, so. Anyway, what's John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine this week?
Well, part two of my 30 years at PC Magazine. And so the part two is covering the years 1986 to 1996, which I now have concluded is the golden age of personal computing.
Ah. Now, some people I saw on Twitter were asking questions about the images of you, your photos of you, or lack thereof.
Now, I have nothing to do with this, but there's a whole bunch of photos of me floating around at different ages.
Yeah.
I have no idea why. I don't get it. It's pretty funny. I'm getting to see some photos I haven't seen.
I'm sure.
There's this one where I guess I was like 25 or something. It looked pretty good.
Ah, back to the golden years.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, let's get to the stocks. This is a game that we play each and every week, along with, of course, Close to the Pin and the DHOCPI, which is the old Codgers portfolio. You can see all that on DH Unplugged, of course, and donate to the cause, because it's very important to donate to the cause. If you notice, we got some decent donations this week, and we're much more uplifted, and we're feeling good, and we're giving you, I think, a better show. That's what I think.
Absolutely.
Right? So, I mean,
glad you noticed this.
A lot more vigor and just excitement. Anyway, we're going to talk about some weekly stock picks. The game we play, it's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. If it's owned by myself, John C. Dvorak, or Harwood's Company clients, we will, of course, duly note that and disclose that on the actual place that you can find these. You just go to the weekly stock picks on dhunplugged.com, and you can track all the things that are happening, what's winning, what's losing, what's in, what's out, all that. And by the way, why don't you just talk about the lovely evergreen nature of this particular board? That's your cue.
I don't know what you're talking about.
How beautifully green the spreadsheet is.
Green, green.
The winners we have on the gain-loss list.
What about them?
What? I was asking to talk about them.
Well, I don't remember.
What do you mean? It's right in front of you. Open it up.
For?
Oh, ready? Here we go.
You have me confused.
Hey, John, do you want to talk about the stocks?
About what? I'm sorry.
The stocks. The weekly stock picks.
Stock picks.
All right. Well, we just blew all the donations at this point.
Well, no. We'll do okay. I didn't have this thing up. That's the problem.
Just use the word stretch in the next time, though.
Stretch.
Stretch.
You got to stretch.
Yeah.
No, okay. I just got a little bit confused there in my old age. Let's see what we can do. Okay. Now, we did some stocks, and if I could just get this thing to show up on the screen. There we go. All right. We have an unbelievable weekly stock list.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's all green except one.
Yeah.
That's mine. That seems to be yours. That's your one stock.
Yeah, no, I have a few, but that one's... just won't die. It's like it just won't go.
This is you and Crocs. Let me think of the other one. Crocs, Green Mountain Coffee.
Yeah, Shake Shack coming up.
And Shake Shack and Herbalife. Yeah. You're big four.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's amusing because you can't, it's like you're addicted to these four stocks.
I need
some. You're
going to
need them. It's the last thing you do. And to make things more interesting, I'll add, You're revisiting Shake Shack, I see.
That's because they're coming out with earnings tomorrow night. Stock is pretty high. A lot of negative thoughts on it. We saw Red Robin Gourmet come out with some really horrible numbers. A bunch of the restaurant and casual dining restaurants coming out with some ugly numbers. So if they come in, they've been plowing higher recently. And I thought, you know what? Why not take a shot at the Shake Shack?
I'm definitely not joining you with that one.
All right. Well, let's just mention, by the way, the big winner is Barclays.
Which is the only one on the list that we've both agreed on.
Yep, 16.5%.
Yeah, that was a good call. I should have actually bought some of that. It's crazy.
We got Sarepta up 4.9%. Biogen, the short that you chose, up 2.28%. Advanced Auto Parts doing very well. Some insiders on that one. And you did get stopped out, which is very sad because it's up to about 7 and change right now. But you got stopped out on Fairmont Central Holdings. But it kind of went up, then came back down. It's very aggressive. Even if you had a 15% stop on this, you would have been stopped out.
Huh.
So
I got stopped out. I'd come out ahead or broke even, but I should have. If I wouldn't have been playing this game and been in the stock, I probably would have stayed in it.
Yep. And I was thinking about. Oh yeah, I wonder if you're. I have a name that I was thinking that you may talk about tonight. We'll see if you do.
Oh,
I'll mention the name after you go. Either way.
Well, first of all, I was going to mention Amazon.
Uh huh.
Because Bezos has been dumping. He's dumped $500 million worth, and that's kind of interesting.
Uh huh.
That's not it.
Nope, that's not the one.
Well, let's try. How about? There's a company. Viper Energy Partners.
What's that symbol?
Let's see, what is it? Let's see this. VNOM.
Venom. Nice.
Oh, Venom. Very funny. Venom.
Venom.
Okay, you already know that the company's a bunch of goofballs when they come up with kind of symbols that are puns.
Yep.
So they got a guy buying in, and he doesn't seem like the type of guy who would do this. And he doesn't buy and sell a lot of companies. He's not an insider necessarily, except this company. And so I'm always a little dubious when some guy like this, because he doesn't have a track record at all,
mm-hmm.
if you look him up. And so you end up with this guy buying in heavily. 2 million shares at $15. Now, I think I'm going to go long on that stock and see what happens.
Okay, got that down. Let's see here. That didn't work. Let me do it again. Yeah. Okay, is there any other ones?
Yeah, there was something else I was thinking about, but I can't remember what it was. What's your company you're thinking about?
I'm thinking about GoGo.
Oh, no, it wasn't it. I was on.
There was a big buy today, of insider buy of GoGo, you know, the company that does the in-flight internet.
Yeah.
And I thought that was going to be something you would like.
Something I probably would like.
There's a big
buy. I am looking. So I'm up in Washington State, so we went scrounging around at the different pot shops.
Uh-huh.
My wife told me a couple of things I didn't quite believe, but I believe it now. When you go into a pot shop, and for one thing, the hot stuff is the edibles.
Yeah.
And so if there's any investments in edibles I can find, I would probably put them on this list.
There was somebody that said they were sending you edibles.
Somebody sent me some edibles,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so it's not a publicly traded company. Right, it's a guy, exactly. You know, it's a guy. Exactly. He's a good packager, I have to say.
Uh-huh.
But there's a company coming, I think it's out of Colorado, and they also have offshoots all over the place that you want to look at if you can find, invest in somehow. I don't think it's not publicly traded.
Oh.
It's a company called Mary's.
M-E-R-R.
M-A-R-Y apostrophe S, as in Mary. So Mary's is something to look at. But anyway, the thing that I noticed that my wife was telling me about is you go into a pot shop, what kind of customers do you expect to see?
Long-haired guys with long beards?
Yeah. No.
No.
There was not one long-haired guy with long beards. It's all, and I'd say 70% of the customers that came and went, all old women.
Really?
Yeah.
Here's Mary's Leafly. Dispensary.
The old women have aches and pains, and they can't use these other drugs, and they're sick of these overpriced stuff. It's not that this marijuana stuff is cheap, let me tell you. But these old ladies, they're in there for their aches and pains and whatever. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
This is interesting. So they have a couple of specials, by the way.
Mary's?
Yep. It seems that they have a deal. It's the this is in April. You get 3 grams of shatter for only $90. Hempspire concentrate special mix and match oil from Purple Kush, Blue Dream Cherry OG, Dank Star, and Bubblegum.
God.
Yep.
The thing about Mary's is that the reason it jumps out at me as something that should be followed is because the woman, I go into the pot shop. And by the way, these things are elaborate. They're big. There's a lot of stuff in there. And they have all kinds of crazy things. You have to go to the counter and ask about stuff because you don't know anything. But as soon as I go in there, I start asking, so what's jumping off the shelves? I want to try to find some companies that might be good investment in the future. And she says, Mary's is a cream. She's got some cream, OCB, whatever it is, the chemical. Cream.
Huh.
She says, we can't keep this stuff in stock.
You just rub it on and you get high?
No, you rub it on and your aches and pains go away.
Oh. But you don't get high.
I believe that this has no THC in it.
Oh,
most of the stuff had, to believe it or not, most of the stuff doesn't have much THC in it. It's all this other stuff.
Right.
Right. I mean, but no, I take it back. The one guy, there are guys who come in, not as crazy as you would describe them, but the one guy did come in and he went right for the looking at the different kinds of buds.
What do you want from the store? Did it smell really potent?
Oh, apparently they got some stuff that just one half of a puff and you're on your ass.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the edibles are a lot cleaner, less messy. Nobody can smell them. But they have these vaporizers these days. They have the vaporizers these days that you can put the thing in, you put the oil in.
Yeah, but that turns out to be an unhealthy practice.
Really? Is that a bird?
You're hearing the bird. That's a parrot.
Oh, it is a parrot. Oh, okay. I was wondering if it was a squeaky.
I'm in the jungle.
Squeaky chair parrot. Well, we'll look at this. From what I can see, there's not a lot of these companies. There's a few companies that are publicly traded, but most of them, their charts look like crap. And, there's still a lot of controversy with this, with payment options and paying by cash.
Well, they have to pay by cash. Yeah. This is the government's fault. The government told the banks that they can't take anything. They can't have a bank account.
Right.
I mean, this is just asking for this trouble. So they have to deal with cash only. So their places are loaded with cash to get robbed. I mean, it's irresponsible of the government to do this, but that's what they've done.
Yep. Yep. All right. Well, we'll put the list. We'll try Mary's edibles accepted, by the way, through donation. Although I guess if they send them, it's not a good thing.
The cream.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody has the cream, send the cream. I got aches and pains. We'll make sure to follow John C. Dvorak at The Real Dvorak on Twitter. Of course, listening on No Agenda on Tuesdays and Sundays. Tuesdays and Sundays? I always get that. I was confused. That's right, right? Tuesday, Sunday?
I think so, yeah.
Tuesday, Sundays?
Thursdays and Sundays.
Thursdays and Sundays. You can listen on Tuesday if you want to Sunday's edition.
You can listen anytime you want.
Yeah. Sure. Or you can listen live, by the way, to him and to John and Adam Curry, who hopefully will be talking about some of the exciting things that are going in, like, for example, I know they're going to be talking about that murder of that the White House aide who was supposedly now the WikiLeaks source for the DNC emails and that whole hubbub. So it should be interesting.
Something's up.
Yep. And, of course, the Disciplined Investor podcast each and every week, although not last week. We missed last week. But each and every week most of the time with great guests. And people, and you can follow me on Twitter as well, Andrew Horowitz. But make sure to go over to DH Unplugged, check out what's on the site, give a donation, check out the Close to the Pin competition, and, of course, all the other goodies that are on there. And otherwise, I'm done.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket stands a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.